So on Friday, the issue that was on so many people's minds was the dropping of the new Adele song. I'm not generally a fan of Adele's music. It's pop music. I think everything sounds the same to me, but that is what pop music is all about. It is the familiarity of the music, something that people don't necessarily have to train their ears for. It sounds very much similar to the last song and the last song, but hey, that's why it's called pop music. It's because people like it. Take a listen. Here's the song, Easy on Me. Of course, with music videos, there is a whole procedure before the song even starts. It will eventually get there. And I guess that's also what... Joe, I'm going to ask you, let's go straight to the meat of it. Let's hear what people think. Oh, it's a long song. It's a long introduction. Rain. Everything. And here we go. Here we go.
In these waters... But I can't bring myself to swim when I am drowning in this silence.
Okay, yeah, so it's the same. If you heard one Adele song, you've heard the other. But that song released on Friday morning and mixed reviews. But then, less than 6 hours later, a South African version of the song hit the internet. It hit the airwaves and people went absolutely bananas. South Africa's Cape Town's own Jaw Mix, Yacht Music, remixing Adele's song less than 6 hours after its global release. Let's have a listen. Already a bit more up-tempo. Beat about 120 beats per minute. It's a good house mix. Let's have a listen. Already a better song. So we talk on Wednesday about what we usually talk on the show, the history of, and today we want to focus the history of Yacht Music, the history of a Cape Town sound of Jaw Music, which is equatable to the house music scene of Detroit and Chicago, to the drum and bass and dubstep sound of London in the UK and South Africa, having its own version of house dance music. Yeah, so we found some interesting articles looking at the history of what has become Cape Town institutions. Mia Ardern is a writer writing particularly on Cape Town arts, culture, and particularly music. Mia, thanks so much for joining us here on The Morning Review.
Hi, Lester. Thank you for having me.
Rafilwe asked me this morning, what is yacht music? Wanting to me to explain what yacht music is. I obfuscated and I said, well, you're going to have to listen to Mia Ardern to help you explain, because I can't necessarily explain. It's a jaw music. It's a party music. It's music that we listen to at house parties. But what is yacht music?
Yeah, it's a difficult question. I mean, yacht music is more a feeling than a genre, I would say. But essentially, it's yeah, DJs, what they do is they throw a up-tempo house beat over an old-school R&B or soul track. Mm. And it's often they sample like these deep, nostalgic ballads. And in doing so, they just capture this piece of collective memory, I feel, you know, and turn it into jaw music that we can all just let our burdens go, you know, when we listen to it. That's really what it is.
Because it's standard 4-4 music, 4-4 timing set to about 120, 130 beats per minute. And there is some effectual producing to it. And all of a sudden, you have a house jaw banger or a club banger, which can be from a completely saccharine, you know, depressive, you know, ballad to all of a sudden being a club number one.
100%, 100%. But I think that's the beautiful thing about it is if you listen to some of these Yat Nomas, it's really vulnerable. The lyrics are really vulnerable. You know, love is always at the heart of these tracks. So yes, it's quite raucous that, you know, you imagine a Yat scene, but essentially these are very vulnerable. I can be quite heartbreaking ballads, you know, that this house beat is thrown over.
There was a time in the early 90s where all of a sudden house music coming out of Detroit and Chicago was becoming absolutely huge around the world. That then filters down to South Africa. What we know as Cape Town Joel music takes a lot from its heritage out of Detroit and out of Chicago. But when we look at the emergence of Joel music, house music, yacht music here in Cape Town, when do we start seeing it emerge?
I feel like the 90s, early 2000s, this is now before social media was a thing. So Yat music was never dependent on these, on like commercial channels. There was never a middleman that was needed. You would get it through cell phones, through burnt CDs, ripped CDs, now maybe on flash drives. But yeah, in those days, it would be DJs maybe using two songs, layering them over each other and then sharing it with friends, you know. So I think that was now before social media, I'd say late 90s or early 90s.
I want to bring into this conversation a man called on the dance floors, Uncle Cal. His full name, Calvin Peters, has worked in music for most of his life. He's a veteran of the production, organizing, also simply just performing good music on dance floors, Calvin Peters. Calvin, thanks so much for joining us. Uncle Cal, how are you doing?
Lester, thank you, man. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yacht music, how would you classify it?
Man, it's very interesting that you mentioned Chicago and house music. That music really evolved from the late 80s out of Chicago with Steve Salgarley, a very known, well-known DJ who did a song called Jack Your Body and all of that music. And if you listen to the essence of yacht music and the way it sounds now, it is really the evolvement of that house music out of Chicago, filtered down here. If you get DJs like Superfly and all those guys who played this music and introduced it to us in the nightclubs. But then also, I know Mia mentioned the 90s. If you remember Kwaito music was slowed down house music. So yacht music, as much as it is a feeling, it doesn't necessarily always 120 BPM. Remember, we got to dig deep and we got to look at history, that the music that was playing on the radio did not resonate with our people. So there was jukeboxes at these taverns and at the corner shops. And if you think of a song that I think of as a child, used to go to the corner shop, you would hear Mahala Jive. Mahala Jive was playing. That is one of those early songs which you could call a yacht song. But then there was also ballads. You think about Judy Boucher. I mean, I just recently did a remix of that song myself with the artist herself. Mm. But that song was a ballad. And people would be on these yards. I'm saying yard for the sake of Cape Talk. Because a yacht.
Don't worry, bringing yacht to Cape Talk. It's fine. It's yacht.
You need to say yacht in that dialect and so on. And don't forget and all of that. So... And I think what also happened is that as we started, everybody got a computer. Mm. Not everybody had a PC. And then everybody and the grandmother started having a PC and an edit suite on the PC. And we were introduced to there was the advent of social media, making our own music. And people started messing around. The DJ started. We never had that technology that the guys had in Chicago and in the UK, where you had Carl Cox and you had Calvin Harris and Steve Salgarley and all of those guys had this technology in the UK and also in the US of A. We started getting that on computer. Mm. The guys were geared up towards that. And you find that happening as it evolves into the new millennium and this yacht music and alle yacht alles. So anything, they would take a song besides a ballad, they would yacht up a jazz song and turn it into yacht.
You can yacht up almost anything. Do you know what my favorite yacht number is, Mia. My favorite yacht number is in fact a sugary sweet blonde American pop singer called Debbie Gibson. And she did a song that was We Could Be Together. It was almost a country number. And this is what Yacht Remixes did to this. Debbie Gibson, Johannes, We Could Be Together. Let's have a listen. You could turn literally anything into a yacht number. Hey, Mia.
Absolutely. And this Debbie Gibson classic is a tribal blast remix that you're playing. It just takes me back to my early days in high school. Yo, it just reminds me of my age, but an absolute no man. It's a country song. I couldn't believe it when I tried to find it. I tried to find it. And obviously you can't find these mixes on Spotify, on streaming services. You know, you have it. I have it on my iTunes. I have it as a ripped MP3 because, I mean, Debbie Gibson, I don't think she knows about this remix.
Calvin, the yacht music coming from yacht parties, the old garage parties, the old house parties, but also having a very interesting political connotation, many underground meetings being held under the guise of yacht parties, of house parties, and at the back room, somewhere in the back, in a quiet space, maybe behind the speakers, while these tunes were being played for the first time in the 80s, there are political party meetings happening in the back of those yacht venues, wasn't there?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I think of legendary old school DJs. There's a guy in Bishop Lavis called Isipani, who was part of the movement and the struggle, and they would use his disco to have these so-called discos. But like you say, Caden, at the back of it, there is a meeting happening, so much so that you would sometimes find that the security police would come down on these parties just to come and check. And they had to run and throw their speakers over backyards to get away. But yes, you're right. That was really, yeah, that was a different kind of a yacht scene. Mm. That was really organized yacht. But then you have yacht, as in yacht, which is the tavern where people go and cool off. They drink a dop and they listen to the jukeboxes. And now that you mentioned Debbie Gibson, I mentioned Steve Silger earlier to you. Mm. He remixed that song. That's the organic version itself was big already. Then one of our guys took it and we just gave it a little bit of a, somebody in South Africa gave it a bit of a yacht scope. Mm. But it has also, I think, that's why I'm glad that you mentioned the whole, you know, things, the whole political scene and everything, because that's the truth. We had to make our own music. We had to listen to music because the radio wasn't playing our music. Mm. So you go back to a guy like one of the first guys to bring out music Afrikaans with a beat for a yacht, really, was a guy called Al Etto. He was a producer who discovered that boy Ricardo who sang I Love You Daddy. And that song was called Dance Fanaan Met Me, which was accidentally played on the radio by a legendary, one of the first radio DJs of color, Dimitri Jagels, back in the day. One Monday morning, he accidentally put on the wrong side of the then 12-inch vinyl. And Come Dance for Nan May became a hit and so on and so on. And then if you also look at guys like Fanny Kaap, Brasa Fanny Kaap, they started making this music and he was involved. You know, Reddy D and all of those guys, they put Afrikaans and our music and our colloquialism to the beat of our music and international songs. And I won't call that yacht music, but hip-hop, I won't call my opkappers, you know what I said. But that was really where people became inspired. Those guys were the first guys who took beats and did it with hip-hop.
But you
and
can
then obviously.
But again, what you can do it with anything. I remember my parents used to go to, what are these snack dances. And what are these bands called? Strand Combo or Bobby Hendrix. And you hear, and I may have been taken along with when I was very, very young. So I know what kind of music is played there. But all of a sudden, you have a Bobby Hendrix sort of lang arm song set to a house beat, and it introduces that kind of genre to a whole new audience. Calvin?
Completely. I just want to say on that Bobby Hendrix. Yeah. So that I must give props to Jason Roberts, who was the producer behind the Bobby Hendrix Clap Clap song. And that song was huge in the 90s. It was played at weddings. Mm. And you know, nobody really speaks about Jason Roberts now, because it wasn't now about who produced it, about the credits. It was about getting the song out and sharing it. Mm. But I actually spoke to him and his process behind it. And he said he produced it in, like, within an hour. He wanted that House of Gypsies backtrack, and he knew it would work with the Bobby Hendrix track. And he slapped it together and it went. I mean, viral wasn't a word in those days, but that's basically what happened with it. Mm.
Julian.
And I mean, obviously Bobby Hendrix is a local cat as well. So it's really our own music.
Exactly. I want to bring in Julian's calling in from Greenpoint. Morning, Julian. How are you?
Yeah, you know, listening to this, so I'm in my mid-50s, and I was at UCT in the 80s, and we used to go to Space Odyssey, and we used to go to Galaxy in Rylands. And let me tell you how ahead of their time these guys were. They would have two turntables, and there was no technology. Mm. They had two turntables, and on the one was Chris de Burgh, Lady in Red, or it was Tiffany, I Think We're Alone Now, or it was Lionel Richie, Hello, or Phil Collins in the Air Tonight, a slow classic. And on the second turntable, they would have this hardcore beat, like you said now. Mm. And they would literally mix it, like, live, and you'd never heard it before. Like, and you couldn't buy it, as the lady said now. It wasn't available on Spotify. So you had to actually go to the club to hear this music. There were queues outside the door, how unbelievable these DJs were. And they would make one tape on the night, because they would, like, tape their session. And, like, literally people afterwards would, like, fight each other, and whoever took the tape home would have to copy it for everybody else. But the DJs at Space Odyssey and at Tramps and at Galaxy and Rylands were unbelievable when it came to making slow classics really jazzy and dancey. Unbelievable memories.
Julian, thanks so much for the memory. Really appreciate it. We see how particularly the Chicago Detroit house DJs have become world famous, Calvin. They still do the party circuit. Well, hopefully they'll return when we can open up our borders and to parties and events again, particularly international draws. But our producers, like what DJ Cello, DJ Snow did that remix of the Adele song. I see DJ Cello brought out his own remix of that Adele song just yesterday. When are our guys going to get that same type of promotion, particularly internationally, taking yacht music global, Calvin?
Yeah, you know what? The sad thing about the music industry, that, you know, the music industry is a doggy dog music industry. And unfortunately, those guys are never going to, the only thing they're going to receive is props. They'll never get royalties for that, so to speak, you know, because it's the song that's being that they're mixing is the song of an international artist. And I say what I've done, and I want to encourage other guys, I want to say this as inspiration. I've started mixing and remixing our people's music, right? And I feel that we need to give the attention to our people as much as you give the attention to the artists that we don't know. Put that same energy. Remix a song by one of the local artists, whether it's Karen, you know, or Karen Zoit.
There's a great song by Salome. It's written by Mark Lottering, but it's also, it's a great song. I forget its name, but also has that elements of yacht and jol to it. I've heard it on the radio a couple of times, in fact.
Yes. It's actually massive. But let's just come back to these guys like Cello and Jazzy D. They've done great jobs. So. But the sad thing is that, unfortunately, because of the music industry and all of the red tape, they're never going to see royalties. They will get credits and their name. They'll get good commercial success because of social media, that songs will go out. People will share it all over. But unfortunately, they're not going to get, unless there is a way and a means to get deals going with the record companies. And I'm telling you, that's
because
a story
then, what's then the difference? Maybe Mia, you can weigh in on this. I know Calvin has institutional experience, but when you in your piece on Uframe, you've spoken to DJs. What's then is the difference in between piracy and then using a song as inspiration for a remix and then formalizing that with a record deal, so that also then that producer, that DJ who is, you know, just working on the computer maybe, also gets something back?
Look, I think it's either a bootleg or it's not. You follow there are certain processes you have to follow to get royalties. It's quite a formal process and it's quite an expensive process. One of the things that I was made aware of is that you need capital to do that correctly, you know, to have the right software to sign the right deals. And often these DJs aren't going through those processes. They're creating the music for the moment, for the culture, for the community. So it's not even a concern. Mm. But that really is the difference.
Is it an act of altruism? As I'm doing this for a community, I'm doing this for a group of people, and I may not get recognition. Besides, nowadays we know it's a DJ cello mix because we see it online and we listen to it off YouTube.
I feel like there is an element of that, but there's also, it doesn't exist within capitalism. It's not, you know, yacht music, it isn't really, it's not concerned with that. So yeah, I would say it is now for the moment, it is for the people. And the DJs kind of, they know that. They're not following the processes, they are doing it for that moment. That's why we can have, for example, now with this DJ Cello track and a DJ Snow track, not even 24 hours later, the Norma is out. That can only happen because they're not following the processes. Otherwise, it wouldn't happen like that. So, you know, it exists because it circumvents that legal process.
I want to bring a call from Brandon quickly. Brandon in Brackenfell, how are you doing?
Listen, good news, all.
Very good. What's on your mind?
No, I want to share a bit, like, when you're in the club and if you're feeling sad and then you just hear that your number comes up and then you just want to be... You just smart to be liquor and to be happy and just let the jewel rock.
I know what you mean about making a sad song, making you feel good. Me and Calvin, this is my second favorite Yacht Noma as we say goodbye. Me, I'm sure you know SWV.
Of course.
And this is Weak. This was a love song, and all of a sudden it's a banger. But I'm going to take your calls on what yacht music means to you. Calvin Peters, DJ Cal, Uncle Cal, thanks so much for joining us. Writer on culture and music, Miarden. Peace in available on Newframe, newframe.com. About the significance of house music as a genre coming out of Cape Town. Your thoughts, your calls. 021-446-0566.